We'll think about one little word this afternoon, word grace. The word grace means undeserved favor, undeserved favor. You sometimes talk of someone being a graceful person, don't you? Or showing good grace. But in the Bible, there are three types of grace. I want to think about this afternoon. Three types of grace. But just before we get to there, this story we just read, Paul and Barnabas were having a campaign as they were in Lystra, and this man had been healed. And the people of Lystra, believing in the Greek gods Hermes and Zeus, thought this must be that God's come down to earth and wanted to sacrifice to them. And Paul and Barnabas said, no, don't do that. It's not. We're not gods. Don't you dare do that. We've come to tell you about the living God who made everything. But the first kind of grace, which we see in that chapter, is common grace. Common grace. Shown to everyone, irrespective of whether they're believers or not, God's common grace. This is what Paul and Barnabas said. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food, fills your hearts with joy. So Paul's saying, yes, you don't know this God, but he's showing you his grace by giving you all these blessings of the natural world. He's blessing you with the crops, their season, and so on. Now, we all know this is true, don't we? If you go in a supermarket, what a bountiful display we see, don't we, of God's grace, God's common grace. No end of stuff to choose from. That God could have created perhaps 20 different vegetables and fruits. That would have been good, but he's done hundreds. He's so bountiful, so gracious. And so this is God's bountiful provision for everyone. For everyone. Whether they believe in it or not, God has given his common grace to people. In our garden hedge, well, blackberries, they're wild blackberries. We didn't plant them, we didn't sow them, but we were able to harvest them to make apple crumble, blackberry crumble, and blackberry and apple jelly. They're just there. God's common grace. God's gifts to us in nature. So the Bible talks a lot about God's common grace. In Psalm 104 we read, he makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. God's common grace to everyone, even people who deny his existence, he showers his common grace on them. That's how gracious and generous God is. Now Jesus uses this to challenge us in Matthew 5. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Then in Luke 6, he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So God, Jesus saying this, look, your Heavenly Father showers this grace on people. They don't deserve it, so you must be graceful too. You must love your enemies and pray for them. You must be kind to those who are not kind to you. That's the challenge, isn't it, to us? It's challenging to be like that sometimes, isn't it? You know, very challenging. So everything God does for us is of his grace. He doesn't have any obligation to do anything for us at all. There's nothing God ought to do for us. Everything he does for us is of his grace. He doesn't owe us a thing. Not a thing. Everything he does for us is of his grace. And there's enough for everyone too, you know. And people might say, well, if the world produces enough for everyone, why doesn't everyone have enough? Why is it that so many people are starving? It's thought that 673 million people were hungry in 2024 in the world. And yet there's plenty for everyone. 8% of the world's population didn't have enough to eat. And yet there's enough for everyone. Some startling facts here for you. Startled me at least. Globally, one-third of all food produced is wasted. The UK alone discards approximately 9.52 million tonnes of food annually, enough to feed over 30 million people. 67% of all UK food waste, that's 6.4 million tonnes, was edible. The average household spends £470 on food every year, ends up in the bin. Amazing, isn't it? Startling, isn't it? How careful we should be with how we use the Earth's resources, shouldn't we? This should challenge us, shouldn't it? What we waste. To think about those who don't have enough because we're not sharing it out to everyone. That's all it is, isn't it? The quote here from Mahatma Gandhi, "The Earth has enough resources for our need, but not for our greed. Enough for our need, but not for our greed." So that's God's common grace. Second one is God's saving grace. God's saving grace. We read about that in Paul's letters to Ephesians, for example, where he writes, "Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." So God gives us forgiveness through faith in Jesus because of what he did for us. Not what we've done. We don't deserve it. He gives it to us when we respond to him in faith. That's what grace is, saving grace. The New Living Translation puts it like this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, that none of us can boast about it. Apparently President Trump recently said, "If I can bring peace to Ukraine, it might get me to heaven." It's not like that, Donald, is it? You don't get to heaven by doing things like that. I hope some of his Christian friends will correct him on this. Now, Romans tells us we're justified. What justified means being made righteous, as though we'd never sinned. That's amazing, isn't it? God accepts us as though we'd never sinned when we come to God through Jesus. So Paul writes, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God." We stand in this grace because God has done this for us. We stand in it securely, the saving grace. Now, grace is free. It doesn't mean it's cheap. We were bought with a cost. The cost was the cross on which Jesus died. So it's free to us. It's not cheap. It cost a terrible price, doesn't it? The grace that we have through faith in Jesus. Paul summed it up in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." By his poverty, giving up heaven's glory to come to earth to make us rich. Have a break now, listen to a song. I'm sure some of you know this. It's called Wonderful Grace. You can join in if you know it. We have had it here before, so just listen to it. Sing along with it. But by John Pantry, lovely song.
Was I don't deserve, praise be what Christ.
Lovely, isn't it? I can't get it out of my head once I listen to it. It stays there. Wonderful grace. Thirdly and finally, supporting grace. Supporting grace. Paul wrote to the Corinthians about troubles he'd been through. All the persecution he'd had, the attacks from his enemies, starvation, shipwreck, all kinds of things. And he talks about having a thorn in his flesh, something that was troubling him, and he prayed to God, take it away. But God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." He didn't take away the thorn, but he gave Paul the grace, supporting grace to help him through this difficulty. "My grace is sufficient," he said, "for my power is made perfect in weakness." It's wonderful to know, isn't it? If we're Christians, we've got that promise that God will give us his supporting grace when things go tough, when we're struggling in life, bereavement, illness, disappointment, whatever. We've got this supporting grace. Someone said, "When all you have left is God, you'll find God's enough." So when life is tough, we're tossed around, we've got God's promise of supporting grace. Remember, Jesus came to earth. He came to earth. He walked this earthly pathway. We read in Isaiah, "He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows." So Jesus, he wept at the tomb of a friend, didn't he? So Jesus knows what it is to suffer, what it is to be sad, to mourn. So we can turn to him when troubles come and find that supporting grace. That supporting grace. And as the writer of the Hebrews put it, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Approach the throne of God's grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's a promise to all believers. When life's tough, that supporting grace is always there for us. It's always there, God's supporting grace. Not deserved, but like all the other forms of grace, because of his grace, because of his kindness, his generosity, God cares. And when life is tough, there's that supporting grace there for us. John Newton wrote in his famous hymn, "Through many toil, through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." He had a very troubled life, John Newton. He went through a time of rejecting God, captain of a slave ship, drunkard, foul-mouthed. Then he converted, became a clergyman, and he was able to write that amazing grace hymn. So God's grace is free. We can't earn it or buy it, but we have to choose to receive it. You can't earn it or buy it, but you have to choose to receive it. When you receive it, it's free. You know, Paul and Barnabas said to those people in Lystra, "Turn from those worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." They were pagans. They worshipped false gods. Now, lots of people today in our world are following false gods, materialism, secularism. And our message to them should be, turn from these worthless things to the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Turn away from this pointless life you're living. There's a living God waiting to shower his grace on you. It's free. It costs love. It cost Jesus his life, but it's free. This grace God offers us. So we've got those three types of grace. We've got the common grace, which we all enjoy every day. We've got God's saving grace through Jesus and his supporting grace when life is tough. May God help us to thank him and praise him for his grace.